free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
It's Wednesday, April 29th, 2020. I'm David Knight, your host. One of the articles that stuck out to me as a strange side effect of the lockdown is what happened in an Italian forest, because, you know, Italy's been completely locked down, like so many other places, like the U.S. And you see feral animals going places where feral animals have never gone before. That's a strange new trek that we have entered on here. And they have some feral pigs found a stash of $22,000 worth of cocaine and ate and destroyed it. I would like to see a picture of what those hogs were doing after they consumed that much cocaine. I mean, did their snouts collapse like the noses of some Hollywood cokeheads that we've all seen? You know, they do coke too long and the nose just collapses. No, really, what is happening is, and we're going to cover this today in detail, the many ways that government continues to increase controls and authoritarian measures on us, in spite of the fact that this COVID narrative has collapsed in a heap of lies. And it's our feral government, not the feral pigs, it's our federal government that's sticking its nose into every aspect of our lives. And that's what we need to be concerned about. And the pigs who are feeding at the trough? Oh, the super wealthy, Wall Street and so forth, right? As Free Thought Project points out, as the U.S. plunges into poverty, the super rich see their wealth jump by $282 billion in 3 weeks of the pandemic. Now, why aren't the Democrats complaining about this? Why aren't they complaining that arbitrary shutdowns, austerity, prohibitions of work, prohibitions of travel, taking away our food supply, our medicine supply? Why are they complaining that all of this is making the rich get richer? Well, because their policies always do that. The whole purpose of their UN 2030 agenda for sustainability was to sustain the wealthy and to polarize it, to destroy the middle class. That's what this is all about. And our federal government has now gone feral, and our state governments as well. For example, let's take a look at the Federal Reserve, the out-of-control central bank. It's gone wild, and it is transferring wealth from the middle class to the wealthy, as Economic Policy Journal points out, and as the Wall Street Journal has also pointed out, how the Fed, their title is the Fed is punishing prudence and punishing people who saved, punishing people who are not speculators, while they indemnify and retroactively take away the risk from people who are speculating. The Fed's preemptive bailout effectively eliminates risk retroactively. That's the way the Wall Street Journal puts it, and they're exactly right about that. The result is going to be the acceleration of two economy-wide transfers of wealth from the middle class to the affluent, from the cautious to the reckless, from those who saved to those who speculated. The Federal Reserve will deploy more than $1.45 trillion in support of investors, more than double the size of what they did during the 2008 TARP program. That includes $750 billion to purchase recently downgraded junk bonds and bond exchange traded funds. It is an unprecedented intervention in the private credit markets. Notice that they're doing $750 billion to bail out junk bonds. That's more than twice the $350 billion that they had earmarked for small business. But before small business could get that money, the hogs of Wall Street got to it and consumed it all. Isn't that nice? It's what I call corona capitalism. Crony capitalism. Writ large. Pigs at the trough. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
It's Wednesday, April 29th, year of our Lord, 2020. I'm David Knight, your host. And we have America held hostage. Here we are, 44 days after President Trump, back in March 16th. There we go, we got the music finally. It's some of you may remember that. Remember America held hostage, the Iranian crisis? It went on for 444 days, I think. Something like that. Well over a year. And it began the Nightline series. And every night they came in, America held hostage, day number blah, blah, blah. Well, America held hostage has now gone to 44 days. That's right. And instead of putting the masks over our heads like the Iranian terrorists did, our American president and governors and local health officials are putting the mask over your face, holding America hostage. How long is this going to go on? It took down one president. Will it take down another president? People were disgusted with the what happened with Jimmy Carter. And quite frankly, I'm disgusted with what President Trump is doing. And I go back to March 16th as the beginning of America held hostage, because that was a day that President Trump, as Fox and CNN and others pointed out, President Trump says no more than 10 people should be around each other to spread the to slow the spread of the coronavirus. President Trump advised Americans to avoid groups of no more than 10 people to slow the spread of the virus in 15 days. But he also said that the pandemic could run into July or even into August. The president's new guidelines, released March 16th, advised people to avoid eating and drinking at bars and restaurants. And subsequent to that, all the bars and restaurants are closed down everywhere, right? The next day, they're being shut down here in Austin and so forth. My administration is recommending that all Americans, including the young and healthy, work to engage in schooling from home when possible. Shut down all schools. Avoid gathering in groups of more than 10 people. Avoid discretionary travel. Avoid eating and drinking in bars, restaurants, and public food courts. And as they point out, in less than 24 hours, our nation's leaders went from recommending no more than 50 people in a group to just 10. Well, that's because President Trump was taking the advice of two smart people, he said, telling him what to do. He had said, first it was 500, then it was 100, then it was 50. And then the smart people in the room told him, no, you have to take it down to 10. Had to take it down. Those smart people, of course, were Fauci of the NIH and Birx of the CDC. These recommendations became guidelines. The guidelines became orders. The orders then became empty shelves. It became empty bank accounts. It became destroyed jobs, destroyed lives, disruption of supplies of food, medicine, energy, healthcare, transportation. And it's destroyed our liberty and Constitution. Are you ready to stop the destruction before it turns into a sustained greater depression? Or are you going to let this continue on? Trump said on March 16th, we've made the decision to further toughen the guidelines to blunt the infection now. We'd much rather be ahead of the curve than behind it. And that's where we are. And so as they reduced it, continued to reduce it, 500, 50, 10, I said, well, at the time, if you'll recall, I said they're going to start arresting homeschool families. Well, bingo, they did. Reason magazine points out a Kentucky family of seven is accused of not practicing social distancing because too many people in the family, right? And so now they've got CPS investigating the parents. It was in March. Two Kentucky parents who were new to Kentucky needed to open up a bank account. They saw no other option, so they took their seven kids to the bank with them. That means, by the way, nine people. And the little snitches don't really count too well, right? Because, you know, you don't count. They don't count. These are the people who were so freaked out every time they are told that somebody died from a gunshot or they died from COVID-19 that they want to ban all guns or they want to ban all freedom. They don't ever even bother to calculate risk. Oh, no, we had a death here, so punish everybody, right? Whatever the cause. So they went to open up a bank account. By the time they returned home from their errand, a Child Protective Services caseworker and a law enforcement officer were waiting at the door to investigate them for child abuse. Here's what the Homeschool Legal Defense Association explains. And by the way, if you are homeschooling, make sure you support this organization. Hopefully you'll never need their support, but if you do, it's invaluable. And they stand there to support the rights of everybody to homeschool. Anyway, Homeschool Legal Defense Association says this is based on panic over COVID social distancing. The parents, referred to as Bill and Christy, are homeschoolers. Christy had moved to Kentucky in advance of Bill. He had remained in New York City finishing up his work. When they arrived at the bank, the parents opted to let the two oldest children wait in the car. The other five had to accompany them into the building, which had a COVID-19 warning sign on the door. And they were not treated warmly. The teller immediately interrogated Bill and Christy about why they had brought five kids into the bank at one time. The teller told them they could not get within 6 feet of her and that they needed to take the children out. Christy explained that the children were too young to be left unsupervised by an adult, and neither she nor Bill could take them elsewhere because the couple were opening a joint account and both had to be present. I got to say, at this point, I would have walked out of that bank. But nevertheless, they continued. Just a nasty teller. But anyway, while Bill stayed with the children away from the counter, Christy opened the account, feeling self-conscious as the staff whispered to each other and watched her family suspiciously. When Bill walked to the counter to show his New York ID and to sign, the bank staff asked why Bill and Christy's identifications were from different states, and so the couple explained. When they arrived at home and found the CPS worker and the law enforcement officer, the authorities confronted them, and they were told that someone had called in an anonymous tip claiming that a mother of five had taken her children out with a man who wasn't their dad and that they had bruises on their arms that indicated rough grabbing. Now, who would have this anonymous person been? It would have been, of course, one of these bank employees. They won't say that here, but I'll say it. It had to have been one of the bank employees. I don't know which bank it was. I don't know which branch it was. But they would have been the ones who would have known their address, right? And they were the ones who had a problem with them. And nobody else in the area even knew them. Already there's a problem. If the kids were wearing long sleeves because it was a cold day, how had anybody spotted bruises? Of course, the caller got other information wrong as well because Bill was the kid's father. When Bill handed over his license, the investigator could see the last name was not a, quote, unrelated male. And his kids showed him their arms. They could see they didn't have any bruises. So you would imagine that the case is closed, right? No, no, no. Not after CPS gets involved. Even though the initial report is proven false, that is not what they call an exit, an off-ramp. They continue investigating. Investigators, as typically happens, insist that they must robotically keep probing. They open cabinets. They look in refrigerators. They question the kids. The Kentucky investigator even questioned the family about which homeschool curriculum they're using, as if that had anything to do with any of this. See, the problem is there's no due process, right? As I've talked about these CPS cases all the time. There is no due process. They can do whatever they want. Just like COVID-19, there is no due process. You've got these people, that are protecting the public health, just like these people that, well, I'm protecting kids. No, you're not. You're not. You're not following due process. You're not following the Constitution. And CPS has been going on for a long time. So has civil asset forfeiture. Now we've got a new partner in all of this. The medical tyranny and the paranoia and hysteria that go with it. The bureaucratic rules where there's no due process. Parents in Kentucky rights reason and the rest of the country deserve a law like Utah's free-range parenting bill, which says that simply taking your eyes off the kids is not neglect. Neglect is if there is blatant disregard for their safety, but just letting them out is not. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Love and war, all is fair. He's got cards he ain't showing. it. The time is all we've lost. I'll try it. And he can't even run his own life. I'll be damned if you run mine.
So remember when that kind of summed up America? People used to say, well, it's a free country, isn't it? Don't make a federal case out of it. Now everything is a federal case and we don't have any freedom. And we are now on day 44 of America held hostage. As it began saying, you can't have more than 10 people together at a time. We've now seen a Kentucky family, two parents, seven children, harassed because of the fear, the paranoia, the obsessive compulsion of these little Stasi snitches coming after them. Now, these people are so OCD, so afraid, because of President Fauci and Vice President Birx. They can't count. Is that nine people in that family? 10, 11? I don't know. Maybe it's over to the 10. Call them in. This is abuse, right? Yeah, it is obsessive authoritarianism, isn't it? And, of course, we've got another case. And now, this is not because of the number of people. This is just a single daughter we have at Infowars.com. Police harassing a mom for allowing the daughter to play at a neighbor's house. How dare them do that? The video begins with the Calumet County Sheriff's deputy sarcastically asking the mother if she's aware that the state is under a stay-at-home order. After telling the officer she's aware of the order, the mother then asks, why are you at my home? She said, because your daughter is going to play at other people's home, and you're allowing it to happen. Stop having your kid go by other people's home. Okay, she responded. Next, the female officer on the scene asked for the mother's last name and middle initial so she could file paperwork for the alleged violation of a state order. The female officer scolded the mom for letting her child walk in her own neighborhood. Says she walks all over the place, all day long, barefoot. She shouldn't be anywhere away from the house. The policewoman documented that the mother was uncooperative and added, we'll be back if your daughter is out. You've been noticed, citizen. Right? Now, this is an order, right? These people are law enforcement. What are they doing enforcing an order that's not part of the law? But then we go to Maryland. Day 44, America held hostage. 15 cops raid a restaurant because they say they've got more than 10 customers. Well, these people can't count, can they? Like I said, two parents, seven kids. Oh, that's got to be over 10, right? Well, we got over 10 cops. They raided this restaurant. The owner may get a $5,000 fine. The owner of a Maryland Riverside restaurant could face steep fines and a year behind bars after 15 police officers showed up in a raid. That's right. We got trouble. Trouble right here in Riverside Restaurant. That starts with T, and that rhymes with C, and that stands for COVID, right? Apparently, they thought it was okay to serve drinks at the bar. Can you imagine that? Somebody in America thinking it's okay to serve drinks at a bar? We've got to stop this right now. This is the new America with a K. We got to stop this. This is not okay to serve drinks at a bar. Send in the 15 cops, right? See, you all thought that it was a good thing to have SWAT team raids to keep people from killing themselves with illegal drugs. And now you think you're going to protect them from themselves and from, protect yourself as well. With the cops now raiding people sitting at a bar, eating or drinking. See, you embraced all that. You didn't care that the drug war was against the Constitution. You didn't care that they didn't have enough respect for the Constitution to put an amendment in the Constitution to actually give them the legal power to do this. They did it with alcohol prohibition. We had the 18th Amendment. Then they took it away with the 21st Amendment. But, the 9th and 10th Amendment were there. That's why they had to have the 18th and the 21st Amendment. But America thought it was okay, because it was for the public good to stop drug use. Well, people who become drug addicts, all it has done is just make that worse. And now we are busting people who have beauty salons in their basement and so forth. Yeah. Welcome to Prohibition 2020. You didn't wear a mask. You didn't keep your social distance. You got too many kids. I don't like you homeschooling. Your business is my business. You got to be a part of the herd. We don't care about any individual. Every individual is non-essential. Only the herd is essential. So the cops said apparently they thought it was okay to serve drinks at the bar while people waited for orders. How about that? Well, we've got orders of our own right here. The state police spokesman told the paper there, the Whig, that the governor's executive orders were violated. What about a law? No, we don't do laws anymore. I'm sorry. We just don't have the time. You know, legislators are afraid to meet and together and so forth. No, we don't do laws. We just do orders now. The investigation indicated the restaurant was selling to-go food and drink orders, but some of that food and drink was being consumed on the premises. Horrors. Oh, horrors. The managing owner said he was following Hogan's social distancing. He said the crowd size orders also. He said, I followed it to the letter of the law. He was upset that 15 uniformed officers from four different agencies showed up to his establishment on Sunday. He told the paper there were no more than 10 motorcycles in the parking lot and that customers waited for their orders and then departed. What exactly did we do wrong? What, you think you got due process here? That's for when we have laws and courts. We don't have that anymore. This is America with a K. Who had the authority to take that many resources off the road, he says. It's hard enough to get two cops at any other time. If I called for a riot, I wouldn't get that kind of response. I mean, in Maryland, you don't get that kind of response unless you've got people actually drinking and eating at a bar waiting for their orders, or if you have the audacity to hold an illegal church service. Remember that? That guy who was a pastor in his 70s, some Baptist pastor in Maryland, a bad area of Baltimore, and they had five guards and fewer than 10 people for the church meeting inside. The guards were outside so that they could comply with the orders, but that wasn't good enough. Just like that homeschool family, they had 8 cops show up. And you may say, well, I don't care. I don't go to church. I don't care. I don't homeschool. I don't care. I don't have a lot of kids. I don't care. I don't own a restaurant. Yeah, that's how we get here, isn't it? I wonder who was maintaining the social distancing for these 15 cops from four different agencies. This poor guy is just trying to keep his business afloat. He's taking in only about $2,000 a day, which is a fraction of what the bar and grill's typically daily revenue is, and he's only able to stay open for 3 days a week. 3 days a week. Yeah, $2,000 may sound like a lot of money to you, but you don't realize all of his expenditures. And then, of course, there's people who are losing their jobs. America held hostage 44 days and counting. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Liberty, it's your move. This is the David Knight Show.
All right, as we're looking at America held hostage, our latest update here, you'll find it at Infowars.com. It's almost funny, folks. But these are people who are really getting down on this bullying. We've got cops heckled for telling a 93-year-old couple they're not allowed to have chairs on the beach. Can't have these old people getting fresh air and sunshine. I mean, this is just not to be done. We've got a Governor Newsom, telling people, stay home. Don't get any of that fresh air, sunshine, vitamin D stuff. No. You stay home. Lock yourself in. And so you got a video. Go ahead and roll this as B-roll. Video 8. Police on horseback are confronting the 93-year-old couple. They're just sitting on folding chairs. The police claim that the folding chairs indicated the couple were creating a permanent place. A permanent place. You're squatting here. No, we're not squatting. We're sitting. A permanent place as opposed to the temporary nature of sitting on the sand itself. See, these are fine lines But we have to make the distinction between sitting on the sand itself and actually sitting on a chair. And this is important, to have cops on horses drawing those lines in the sand at the beach so we don't get this COVID-19 response wrong. Lives are at stake here. Understand this. Lives are at stake. We must get this right. One person is filming it says, "But they're old people, officer," one man yells at the sheriff's deputy. Police paid no mind to all the other people who were sprawled out on the beach, many of whom were sitting on beach towels. Don't you dare sit in a chair. That's the important thing. Just like I pointed out, this thing is escalating. Yesterday, you know, it was a couple of days ago, we talked about the lady who was busted in Idaho because she had a yard sale. And the police said it's not essential. But actually, the day after that, more detail came about the process and how it got to that point. She had was a lot of items and a lot of rental storage space that she could not afford to keep because it was part of her father-in-law's estate. He'd passed away. So she had to get rid of it in a garage sale. So she called up the police to ask permission to sell her property on her property, right? Sell her possessions on her property. And they said, yeah, no problem. She starts doing it. And the first day, they show up and they say, well, no, you got to take those signs down about it being a yard sale. And then they leave. And then the next day they come back and they say, you've got to take down your Facebook post telling people that you're here. And then the third day they come back and they say, you've got to shut down the entire sale. So they went from saying it's okay to take down your signs, take down your posting, take down the entire sale. This is the way these cops are. Sitting on the beach? No, you can't sit in a chair. Got to hassle these 93-year-old people here. And now the CDC is, again, upping the regulations and the restrictions because, see, it's not enough that you avoid all human contact. You now must avoid all contact with your pets as well. CDC is now recommending social distancing for pets, according to The Hill. Isn't it nice to have these government protectors everywhere for us? They're saying, well, you know, you could have the virus on these dogs. They could be on anything. And how do they know this? Well, they say they know this, and I reported this when it happened about a month ago. Remember, they had no tests for anybody, and people in New York were freaking out about it. How do we get tested? And they were even saying, all these snowflakes who were so concerned about coronavirus were saying, I need a test. I want to know if I'm positive or not. They were not positive, whether they were sick or not. So they wanted to have the government tell them one way or the other, and the government didn't have any tests to spare. And so I said, here's an idea. You hang around some politician or some rich person here in New York City, and then they will take you in for a test. How about that? Well, at the time, in the Bronx Zoo in New York, they found a tiger had coronavirus, and they had tested tigers and lions, maybe even bears, oh my, at the Bronx Zoo, and found some of them were positive. So they didn't have tests. You don't have to be a powerful politician. You could be a zoo animal. Anybody is more important than you if you are in New York, right? Or they're just the hoi polloi. We're non-essential. They want to get rid of all of us. And they want us to get rid of our pets because the whole point is that you have to be not just locked down under house arrest, but you have to be under solitary confinement without even the consolation of a pet. And now Congress has essentially declared itself non-essential. Now, I could agree with that. No, that's actually not what they're doing. They're not going to meet because they're afraid, they say. And they're not saying that Congress is non-essential. What they're saying is that quorums are non-essential. They're saying that voting is non-essential. They're saying that following the guidelines of the Constitution for how they're supposed to meet to pass these bills to give away trillions of dollars, each one of these bills that they've done is equivalent to or more than what they typically were running in a deficit on an annual basis. Just think about this. I mean, this all began And I, quite frankly, I believe that there's a lot of different agendas as part of this America held hostage. I think one of them is to cover up the central banks worldwide and what they have done to countries around the world with the reckless pumping and creating of this bubble. This bubble is going to burst. And now they can blame it on COVID-19 instead of central bank mismanagement and speculation. I think that's a big part of this agenda. I think that's a big part of why this is global. Always go back and take a look at the bankers. If you got any questions about why some criminal activity is going on, there's probably a banker somewhere in the family tree of that activity or that criminal conspiracy. But yeah, they began back in the fall. You had the Fed dumping in. First, it was like $90, $100 billion. I said, well, that's a lot of money that they're giving to this repo market. I've never even heard of it before, right? It was a hedge fund market, repo market. And so I thought, you know, that's a lot of money. Just to give people an idea of what that is, I looked it up, and it's like, that's the gross national product for 1 year of Puerto Rico. And then a few weeks, they dumped in $500 billion in a single day. And I thought, whoa, that's the gross national product of Switzerland for an entire year that they just dumped into this obscure market in one day. And now they're dumping in the entire debt deficit, annual deficit, not the entire debt, but the deficit here in terms of the U.S. and just each one of these bills here. I mean, it's absolutely getting insane. So the House Democrats are saying that it's too dangerous to return to the Capitol. Not from the standpoint as I look at it. I always consider Congress returning to the Capitol as being dangerous because no one's life, liberty, or property is safe when Congress is in session. What was that? Is that Mark Twain that said that? But no, the House Democrats say it's too dangerous for them to be face-to-face with each other. Don't worry. I mean, Joe Biden's not even going to be there. Mitch McConnell had said we have a constitutional duty to be here, and we're going to do whatever safeguards are necessary, but we will engage in this because our business is essential. So it's nice that he can make that determination when he doesn't allow other people to do so, right? But they kind of ignored that to pass these other relief bills. And by the way, who are you getting relief from? Oh, yeah, that's right. The government. You're getting relief from government orders that are holding America hostage. Just remember that when they talk about how proud they are to give you this money. Why do you need that money? It's because of what these people have done. And then they destroy your business and destroy your lives, destroy your jobs, and they hand you a little tip. Isn't that nice of them? Isn't that nice of them? But Nancy Pelosi, the Democrats, are afraid to come back. I think you should stay away as long as possible. But that's not going to stop them from continuing down this line of universal basic income and locking down the economy. We'll be right back. Welcome back, folks. I'm going to take a look at how they are not ready to let America ever be free again. It's not just that we've been held hostage now for 44 days. No, they're laying the plans to keep this as part of a permanent establishment, a new normal, which is totally abnormal. So we're going to get into that in just a moment. Before we do, real quickly, I want to remind you about the products that we sell at InfoWarsStore.com. That's what supports this program. And we've got some great values for you at InfoWarsStore.com. We have 50% off of vitamin D3. That's our winter sun. We call it that because, again, as you saw that 93-year-old couple and many other people out trying to get sun on the beach, they were harassed for doing that. But it's very important for you to get sunlight and sunshine and fresh air. It's important for your health. When you get sunshine, your body converts that to vitamin D. But if you're locked up, locked inside, if you're not out enough, that's why we call it winter sun, vitamin D3, you can take a supplement to make sure that you do not have a deficiency in vitamin D3 because the way that manifests itself is in a couple of different ways, not only in bone deficiency, but also in deficiency in your immune system. You need that for immune system support. Your immune system is not going to work properly. at the beginning of this insanity, you had scientists, the former head of the FDA, as well as somebody currently working at the NIH, both talking about how important vitamin D was. They said it's not going to fight the virus, but it's going to make your immune system healthy, which will allow you then to fight the virus. So we have that 50% off. We also have Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix, 50% off. And we have some important specials. We have an AM and PM power stack, and you can get them at 60% off. Now, what you'll find in the morning package, you're going to find things that are going to help to wake you up and focus your mind, things like nootropic brain formula. You'll have krill oil, an energy kickstart formula, joint support, other things like that, a green detox. And then in the evening, you'll have immune support formula, something to help you to sleep, as well as bone support formula and other items in the PM power stack. And again, you can get those right now, those combinations, 60% off at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, let's take a look at how they are planning to transform our society once they graciously say that we can start to unwind this. And they're being very slow about this. Many of the states want this to last for many months because they're trying to condition you. This is not about fighting the virus. As we see, it is, you know, they cleared out all the patients, said we're not going to do anything other than handle COVID-19 patients. And then they wound up being totally empty. And people who needed medical treatment are not getting it, whether it's cardiac treatment or whether it's dental treatment or other things like that. The hospitals are going bankrupt. Some of them are closing. They're firing staff and so forth. They're destroying the healthcare system itself with these orders. The temporary emergency measures that were put in place were never used. They're being disassembled now. And yet we continue to see that they're going to ramp this up. Thermal imaging cameras are now going to play a critical role in keeping people safe. Because you've got to understand, now we're at stage two. Surveillance is to keep you safe. Censorship on social media and elsewhere is to keep you safe. House arrest is to keep you safe. Immunity passports are to keep you safe. Mandated vaccines to keep you safe. And oh, by the way, coming up in the next hour, we're going to have Del Bigtree joining us live in studio to talk about vaccines. Very important at this time. Very important. And we'll have in the third hour, Mark Morano will be joining us to talk about climate change, because these people are still pushing ahead. They're getting everything that they want. They want to lock in what they have now been able to put in place. What they wanted all along was what we've now gotten. They just have a different way to get it, and they want to keep what they have now put in place. But thermal imaging. The director of global business at FLIR Systems told CBS, what we're seeing is that there'll be a new normal that will involve thermal screening as a frontline tool. And they say since the outbreak, companies like Flexible Systems, Thermal Guardian, CrowdRx, CrowdRx, yeah, that's a prescription for tyranny, isn't it? And many more have begun manufacturing the cameras for use in airports, healthcare centers, even apartment buildings in New York. What you're seeing here, folks, is the rapid growth of what I've called for a long time the police state industrial complex. We've had the military industrial complex for a long time. You know, the military industrial complex was doing just fine, weren't they? After World War II, they had one war after the other. They had the Cold War. A lot of money in that, you know, building all those nuclear weapons, and we got to, you know, we got to make sure we don't have a nuclear weapon gap and so forth. And then when our big enemy, Russia, collapsed in a heap of, wait for it, socialism and communism like we've now enforced on America, when they collapsed under their imposed economic systems and centralized control, as we are going to do, when they collapsed, we needed a new enemy. Voila, terrorism. And now we have a, you know, everything turns inside. The tools to fight foreign aggression now become instruments of tyranny at home, as we were warned by the founders. And to serve all of this, we had the growth of the police state industrial complex, these companies like I've just been talking about here. And they give an example. Store in Georgia, City Farmers Market has already set up thermal imaging cameras to scan customers as they come into the store. If the customer's temperature is above 100.4 degrees, they're given a flyer that asks them to leave. And here's the key takeaway, folks. The guy who sells this says the key is that the application is not about an absolute temperature measurement. It's detecting those individuals who have elevated body temperature that's higher than the last 10 people that have been screened. Do you understand that? So it doesn't mean that you've got a 100.4 degree temperature. It just means that your temperature is higher than the last four people that came in. It's kind of like the way they test for COVID. They're not actually testing for the virus, just like they're not actually reading your temperature here. You know, they're looking for surroundings and so forth. And so when they do these tests are looking for things that they believe accompany the virus, things that are presumed reactions to the virus. But of course, they could also be reactions to something else. They could be a reaction to your body fighting cancer. But of course, you're not going to have a cancer biopsy screening while they got America held hostage. No, no, no. We will presume that it's COVID-19, just like we will presume that you have a fever if our crude measurements flag you. And this is always the way that it's, this is one of the reasons why. We don't want to have this Chinese system that everybody is rushing and telling us we must have for our safety, right? You think people in China are safe? Are you safe in a society where they can haul you away because you said something that the government took offense at? Or because you practice a religion that they don't like? Or because you didn't pay off the right government officials to run your business? Are you safe in a society like that? Are you safe when they can put you in brutal conditions and even remove your organs while you are still alive? Do you want a system like the Chinese have set up? Do you want a system where they can starve 80 million people to establish their political authority? Because that's what they're wanting to do here in America. And we've got people, like I pointed out yesterday, The Atlantic, Harvard professors writing op-ed pieces for them saying, yeah, we need to watch China. We've got to be more like China. We've always got to be more like China. Bill Gates loves what China did. The people at The Atlantic and Harvard love what China did. They were telling us before we put into practice these things that were demanded by President Fauci and Vice President Birx. We were told before the new government imposed these restrictions that we had to do all this. And it's going to continue. Separated by plexiglass, is this how restaurants are going to operate in the future? Will people be forced to wear masks at all times, they ask, in restaurants, right? What's going to be the new, I think, are they going to give you some way to eat spaghetti through your mask or something? Will customers have to get their temperature checked before entering an eatery? Will friends and partners be forced to sit behind plexiglass dividers? How about this? Will you test my blood pressure to see how high it gets when you start making demands like this on me? That's the real threat to my life. I'm going to blow my stack here. My wife is always telling me, calm down. Just walk away. Yeah, I can't, I'm afraid. This is what the new normal is going to look like, writes Michael Snyder. It's hard to imagine a world where we're afraid to shake hands with one another, afraid to get too close to each other. He says, if I get kicked out of a store for going against the arrows, I'm going to be really upset. Yeah, me too, Michael. I've been there. Already done that. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
All right, let's take a quick look at a few more things that are happening in this authoritarian dragnet. As I pointed out at the beginning of the hour last hour, America held hostage 44 days. When the Iranians did it, they put masks over the entire head. Now we just do the lower part of the face because they're so much more advanced here in 2020. They want you to be able to walk around freely, but behind masks and between high walls that are getting higher all the time and more narrow. You know, it was George Washington who said, the British tell us that they're free. Well, they are free. They walk between high walls, however. And, our walls are getting very, very narrow. If this is what the new normal is going to look like, it's going to be horrible. As I pointed out to Michael Snyder talking about that, a North Carolina woman, Erin Strine. Now, that is, first we had a lady who was flying into New York, and she was freaking out because she said, I had on eye protection, I had on a mask, I had on a hoodie, I had on gloves, and there were people in the plane that didn't have any of that on. And it's like, well, okay, then why are you worried about it? I mean, she said there were two people who had a full hazmat suit. But then look at this. Look at these people who didn't have a mask on at all. Well, lady, you're covered, right? Aren't you covered? No. You have to cover up for my protection. And so we got another lady from North Carolina. She was alarmed at how little social distancing was taking place on an airplane. Well, that's part of flying. The seats keep getting smaller and smaller, lady. You hadn't noticed that? When she realized she was placed in a middle seat, I really felt like my life and the life of everyone around me was at risk. She has no idea what risk means. I'd just love to talk to one of these snowflakes sometime and say, please define for me what risk is. It used to be people were afraid of falling out of the sky. Now they're afraid of sitting next to somebody on a plane. I just sat there silently crying into my mask because I was really overwhelmed by how unsafe I felt. Well, like Michael Snyder says, then don't get on the plane. JetBlue is now going to be the first airline to require passengers to wear face covering. So I will not be flying JetBlue. I don't think I've ever flown them. I think they had a pretty low recommendation for people who were flying. I think they're one of the lowest rated airlines. They will be at the very bottom of my list right now. Not even make the list. And per the guidance from the CDC, your face covering can be any item of cloth. See, it doesn't have to be an N95 mask. It doesn't have to be anything that's, an N95 mask or respirator. Those, according to the CDC, those are reserved for first responders because real masks are for important people, not for you. You get the little face covering that's just a fig leaf, if you will, right? Hey, it's like the security treatment that you get at the TSA. It doesn't make anybody safe. As a matter of fact, bunching everybody up into lines and checkpoints makes everybody vulnerable at that point, and more so than they would be normally. But and then, of course, the CDC points out that not only are the N95 respirators reserved for important people, first responders, and people like that, not only that, but small children don't have to wear any face coverings. Are you kidding me? You're so freaked out. You say, well, everybody's going to wear masks because somebody might sneeze and it'd go all over the entire Walmart. You know, the pattern you've seen, the pictures put out on the media. It covers, one sneeze covers the entire Walmart and it's contaminated forever until they shut it down and do a deep cleaning. No. Kids, by the way, if you've ever had a kid, you would realize that it is a real struggle to train them to cover their mouths when they sneeze or cough. They are the ones who are most likely to spread vapor everywhere. But that's okay because we don't have to worry about kids. It's all nonsense, folks. If they were the least bit serious about this, then you could take them a little bit seriously. Do not take any of this stuff seriously. It's a serious threat to your freedom and the Constitution. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
All right, let's talk a little bit about some of the Washington politics. It's always amusing. Right now, it's never been more irrelevant as both the Democrats and Republicans are holding America hostage to a virus narrative. But we've had Mike Pence now, the latest tempest in a teapot in the Washington social circles and press is the fact that Mike Pence went to the Mayo Clinic and toured it and he was the only person not wearing a mask. And they said the clinic, the Mayo Clinic, has been requiring all patients and visitors to put on masks before entering the building in order to help slow the spread of the novel coronavirus. And he said, well, okay, but I don't have to do that because I'm vice president. It's good to be the king, right? I'm vice president, and I'm regularly tested, and the tests are negative. Well, Vice President Pence, I would suggest that the next time you decide that your next time your aides tell you it's time to do some kind of a medical photo op, you should say, just hold the mayo. Don't go there because they don't like you there. Mitch McConnell doesn't want to hear President Trump anymore. He says on Newsweek.com, quotes him, he says, you know, the people are most interested in hearing what President Fauci and Vice President Birx have to say. They don't really care about Trump. You know, he doesn't have any power over anybody's lives anymore. He's turned it over to this FEMA state of emergency that we're under now, right? Undeclared martial law. And it's the two dictators are Fauci and Birx, so we need to hear from them, says McConnell. Because, you know, their quote-unquote science trumps your rights, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. Their science is not settled. Our rights are settled, and they are declared. We know where they came from. That's what this country was founded on, the idea that we have basic human rights, natural rights, rights given to us by our Creator God. And you can't take them away. And we create governments to protect those rights. And when the governments destroy those rights, then we alter or abolish those governments. When those institutions and those leaders fail to protect our rights, and they're laid out, some of them are laid out in the Bill of Rights with a footnote that, oh, by the way, if we didn't include one of these, that doesn't mean that we don't have it. You don't have any powers that we don't expressly give you. But Mitch McConnell says, well, certainly the American people are most interested in is advice from health professionals about how to conduct their daily lives safely. Well, I don't give a flip about your advice. You know, you're not giving advice. You're giving orders. You're giving orders. We all know what this is about. Don't play semantics with us. I talked to all these people who are excusing this on President Trump's. And they think, oh, he's not giving anybody orders. He's giving them guidelines. And this is being interpreted. And these people, these thugs who are harassing 93-year-olds on the beach, you ask them, well, I'm here by authority of the president and the governor and the public health official. Public health official. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's where it ultimately winds up. And they all appeal to the CDC. And the National Institutes of Health, you know, the people who are doing the bioweapon program and selling the vaccines that they want to mandate. Those are the people that you should be listening to for health advice because they've got your health as their primary interest, isn't it? Yes, they are very interested in your health, not in protecting it, but in destroying it. And you know what? Science is never settled. That's why you always get a second opinion. And I'm not going to let their opinions become dictates to everybody because they want to be dictators. All right. Also in political news, we have Joe Biden still doing Skype from his basement. He did put on a tie, however, and he talked to Hillary Clinton. And, you know, things have gotten kind of hot for Biden. Yesterday I was going to talk about it, but I just couldn't bring myself to talk about politics. So I'll do it today. Hashtag Biden dropout, because Tara Reid, who has, you know, you follow the story. I'm sure you've seen it. Everybody else is talking about it. You watch Fox News. It's about all they want to talk about that. And, you know, when you're going to have your vaccine. But this lady who was working for Joe Biden was very explicit about her sexual assault. There is video that came out of the Larry King Live program of her mother calling in and saying, I don't know what to do. My daughter's been sexually assaulted by a very powerful guy. I don't know if she referred to it as a senator, but it was her mother doing it. And they were talking about, of course, you know, it's like, well, that's kind of interesting. Next caller, you know, from Larry King. And then a girlfriend said, yeah, she related all that to me at the time, but I would still vote for Biden. Yeah, she said that, and I believe that Biden sexually assaulted her, but I would still vote for Biden. This is one of these ones. Yeah, I think that abortion is horrible, but we ought to make it legal and pay for it. Yeah, this is the Democrat mindset, the doublethink that goes on. And, you know, Republicans have to guard against that as well. Nevertheless, as we go through all of that and all that is happening, it starts trending on Twitter, hashtag Biden dropout. Babylon Bee reports a CNN report on Tara Reid. Instead of actually talking about it, they give her a respectful minute of silence. I think they've given her more than 1 minute of silence. It's been total silence about this. They quote the supposed, this is a satire piece, of course, quoting the CNN CEO saying, there's nothing more respectful than a minute of silence. I can't think of a better way to handle such a serious allegation. And I think nothing more can be said beyond the nothing that has already been said. And then you have Joe Biden, so excited that Hillary Clinton has essentially endorsed her, right? Because, you know, again, I guess as soon as she found out there was somebody involved, a high-ranking politician involved in a sexual harassment scandal, she beat a path right to his door. And probably she'll be calling Tara Reid a bimbo in no time at all, like she did all the people her husband violently sexually assaulted and raped. They were all bimbos. Yeah, believe all women. And so he comes back and says, I'm with her. And then he discusses, believe it or not, economic intercourse. Yeah, I think we're getting a lot of that lately from Washington. That's what I would call this whole shutdown. I would call it a form of economic intercourse. So Biden has his clip there with Hillary Clinton. Let's play a video clip number 9. You can see him actually snoozing here. I think somebody put the sound effects in. But here's Joe Biden as Hillary Clinton is talking. Video clip number 9.
Who wanted to hear from each and every one of us. I've been in the lobby of the Senate. I've been in the cloakroom, and I've watched Joe bring people together. So for me, this is a moment that we need a leader, a president like Joe Biden. I also know a lot about Joe the person. I've seen him up
Joe the Predator
and personal now for many years. We have
did they used to hang out with
the
that scene?
Same values in the common, the same work ethic, the same belief in America, the same.
Well, you get the idea.
Focus on
going on in the later in the conference, Biden is talking about how his son's dealings in China, and you can see this at Infowars.com. You can watch Biden struggling to stay awake during the Hillary interview. He's looking down. It looks like he's going to fall asleep, as he has done so many times in Congress and debate stages and so forth. But anyway, just in case you think that that was made up, well, here's where he actually fell asleep while his mouth was still working. He said his son's business dealings in China do not make him vulnerable because they, quote, we're not anything what everybody that he's talking about, not even remotely. Joe Biden, right on top of his game there, as Hillary Clinton also reminds him that this crisis right now is just too important to waste. Yeah. They spent a lot of time setting this thing up. We'll be right back. Stay with us. That's right. With geospatial intelligence, they can read your mind. They know what you're thinking. They can, if you don't just outright tell them on social media, which is why that was set up, they can infer what your political beliefs are, what your religious beliefs are. They can do that by who you visit. Surprise, surprise. That's been there for a long time. And now they're saying, well, we have to track you in all these different ways. And we've now got Google and Apple working together. Maybe they could call the app iSpy, or maybe iGoogle, I, 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 uh, look at you. I don't know. Anyway, they're now stepping this out. They now have, they think, a righteous cause to implement all these tyrannical things that they've been looking at for a long time. You know, there's a column on Town Hall from Dennis Prager, PragerU, and he says, this is our dress rehearsal for a police state. Well, I think we've been I think we've been in it for a while, quite frankly, but I'll give you his point of view. He says, all my life, I've dismissed paranoids on the right who say that America is headed to communism. Okay. And people on the left who say it can happen here, referring to fascism. Not that I believe that liberty was guaranteed. He said, being familiar with history and being a pessimist in regard to the human condition, I never believed that. But the ease with which police state tactics have been employed and the equal ease with which most Americans have accepted them has been breathtaking. Yeah, it's been breathtaking to me, too. It's been infuriating, quite frankly. I can barely contain myself some of these days. At the beginning, when this all started happening, 44 days ago, President Trump is rolling out the orders of Fauci and Birx. I really could not contain myself. Anyway, he goes on to say, and I kind of disagree with him here. He says, police state does not mean totalitarian state. America is not a totalitarian state. We still have many freedoms. In a totalitarian state, this article could not legally be published. And if it were illegally published, I could be imprisoned or I would be executed. But we're presently living with all four of the key hallmarks of a police state. Well, here's the reality. Even in a totalitarian state like China, you can occasionally, you know, print this stuff and get away with it for a while. You can fall through the cracks for a while. Eventually, they will come around and grab you, yes. But I think, if you talk about a police state versus a totalitarian state, I think it's really a distinction without a difference. People like to always talk about an authoritarian government versus a totalitarian government. And again, I think that is somewhat a distinction without a difference as well. Because authoritarian just means I'm the authority, you do whatever I say. I'm a dictator, right? And when they do it in every aspect of your life, that's my definition of totalitarianism. That's authoritarianism extended to every aspect of your life. The police state is just how it's implemented. And so I disagree with that. And I think that one of the things you have to understand is that we've been in a police state, and I would even say a totalitarian state for a while, because we have had every aspect of our life turned from a right to a government-granted privilege. That's not only a violation of the rule of law, the supreme law of the land, the king, the effective king. For all you Christians out there who talk about Romans 13, you need to understand that everybody who has office, whether it's elected or appointed office, they have to swear an oath to the Constitution. Why? Because the Constitution is the supreme authority. The Constitution is the legitimate king in this country. And these people who violate that are as much without authority as if we had a kingdom and these were unfaithful stewards who rebelled against the lawful ruler of the country, because the Constitution is our ruler. Lex rex. The law is king. That's what the founders of the country said. So when we turn rights, bit, you know, little by little into government-granted privileges, you basically get the tyranny that you tolerate, don't you? And people, when they set up this country in 1776, they fought a war over a relatively small tax. I remember going to the Rockefeller-funded Colonial Williamsburg, and they always say, you know, those Americans, they just don't appreciate what we did for them in the French and Indian War. We defended them, and now we need to get that money back, and they just don't want to pay those taxes. No, that's not the issue. The issue is how those taxes are imposed and whether or not we are going to have any representation on that. And the issue is how these laws and rules are being applied. We don't have any representation when these laws are put out there by these unelected bureaucrats. But he goes through and he talks about the dress rehearsal for a police state. He says, number one, we have draconian laws that are depriving citizens of elementary civil rights. Yes, that's true. And that has been going on for quite some time. And it is We've seen a lot of examples of this. And Del Bigtree is going to be joining us in the next segment. Just take a look at the mandated vaccine laws that began in California and New York and elsewhere. We don't care what you think about your medical choices, right? And we don't care what your ethical considerations are. Religious freedom doesn't apply here. Doctor-patient relationship does not apply here. We're going to mandate that you take these vaccines, as many as we'd mandate, and do it on our schedule, and we're not going to have any input from you. And when you allow that type of thing to happen, what we're experiencing today is a logical conclusion of that. So we already had a police state. We already had a totalitarian state. Number two, a mass media that is supportive of the state's messaging and the deprivation of rights. Number three, the use of police, you know, like the cops on horses, harassing 93-year-olds sitting in lawn chairs on the beach. And then he goes to number four, snitches. And I think that is the most important aspect of the police state. That was what was essential for the Stasi East Germans. And as I pointed out before, they once they went back and looked at those files, they were physical files as opposed to computer snitching. They found that more than half of the people were spying on the other half, but more than half were informants. And as some of the people who loved communism, who went there, one American who went there, said, I was absolutely amazed to see that my neighbors, people I thought were friends, were informing on me. But, of course, when I would go into the stores, people who were just really nice, ordinary people, when you meet them in life, we'd go into the store and get in line for the rationed goods under communism. They got on a power trip. They were bossing you around. It's like, now I'm in control. I've got a little bit of power here. And that's exactly what is happening across America. All right, Del Bigtree is going to be joining us in the next segment. Before we go to break, I just want to remind you of the products that we have at InfoWarsStore.com because that's what funds this program. We have 50% off vitamin D3. We call it winter sun because you can produce it if you're allowed to get in the sun. But right now, with you being locked down, you want to make sure you have adequate levels of vitamin D so that you can, you will have a healthy immune system that is functional and defending your body naturally. We also have vitamin mineral fusion drink mix, so you can get your essential vitamins, minerals, and amino acids. We also have storable food. And by the way, winter sun and vitamin mineral fusion drink mix are both 50% off. We have 60% off the 8-pack power stacks. We have both an AM and PM system. So you have things in the morning that are going to help you focus and wake up and be alert. And in the evening, it's going to help you to relax and always supporting your joint and immune system.
Using free speech to free minds. This is The David Knight Show.
Normalcy only returns when we've largely vaccinated the entire global population.
Yeah, that's exactly what the agenda is about. You just heard Bill Gates. Normalcy only returns when we've vaccinated the entire global population. Joining us now is Del Bigtree. And thank you so much for joining us, Del, and coming in the studio. I mean, we're not keeping our... Well, I think we're pretty close to six feet here.
I don't think they can arrest us right
now. We're going to get busted here, I guess. I don't know. But, what do you think about this? Is this something new? You know, he's now openly talking about this. You've got Bill Gates going on with all these serious scientific experts like Stephen Colbert and Ellen DeGeneres, right? He's talking to all of them. And he's got this gag line that he puts out with these comedians. Each one of these interviews he does, he said, well, we're going to have vaccines unless you've got some kind of a therapeutic that is 95% effective. You're just not going to have that.
Yeah.
What a standard he's put out there
for us.
Well,
I mean,
right?
there's so many issues you can get into around that. But one of the things I think is ironic is that, you know, when you and I were speaking a year ago, it would be considered a conspiracy theory, right?
Yeah.
To say that, you know, there's a desire to force vaccinate everyone on the planet. And yet now we are in a situation where you have, you know, Anthony Fauci, Deborah Birx, Bill Gates, the WHO, saying we definitely want to force vaccinate everyone in the world. We will not allow you to get back to normal and have the life you once knew until you're a part of this vaccine program. Discussions about, you know, developing a microchip that can either be injected into you or you wear somehow some sort of symbol that says you are up to date on your vaccines. We're watching iPhones that are now, you know, on our cell phones being tracked to see how close we are together. Drones are being supplied from China to fly over us and see our temperature. And so let's be clear, this is no longer a theory, right?
That's
when we talk about a conspiracy theory, and I've been saying this, you know, all journalism is a conspiracy theory until you prove to be correct. David, we were right. I mean, this is what we were warning people about. And then let's just look at the word conspiracy. You know, my sister was saying, well, it's not a conspiracy. Like, no, actually it is. Conspiracy just means it's a small group of people that have a desire to forward an agenda. And I think that's what you're seeing here, right? You're seeing a very small group of people that have sold us on this idea of a pandemic. You know, you can practically count on one hand the amount of people that are truly responsible for what's happened around the world. Yet you have this massive body of scientists and doctors and professionals and mathematicians that are speaking out and saying these draconian measures were never necessary. And in fact, maybe putting more people at risk, both for all of the, you know, issues, heart attacks and issues that hospitals are not available to them for. Mm-hmm. And even that, you know, closing, as we're seeing in New York, they close people in old folks' homes, but force those nursing homes to take on people that had COVID-19, creating a petri dish for the most vulnerable population there was. So many of these things now are coming to light. It's an incredible time. And I hope it's a time where we get out of now these conspiracy theory accusations and really wake up to our job as citizens
to now
stand up for our rights.
That's right. It really is about the liberty issue. And we've talked about all of these different elements and how they were part of the smart city design, how they had a time frame. They wanted to bring this in by 2030 and so forth. And when you look at the geospatial intelligence, tracking people and, you know, inferring all of that, and the censorship, the social credit scores, all of these things being brought in, even the eradication of the middle class and small business, the economic aspect of this, all of this is being brought together. But now it's all coming around the issue that you focused on for so long, the medical issue, vaccines, you know, and Bill Gates, you're talking about, you know, having the tracking of people with the vaccines. And of course, this is not a reaction to what has happened, because he was pushing this with MIT funding it in the fall last year. You know, the microdot nanotechnology, here, get a vaccine and we'll give you a tattoo that we can look at to make sure you've had that vaccine and so forth, as ID 2020 that he was talking about at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they're running simulations, and of course they've been running simulations on pretty much an annual basis, you know, for some kind of a pandemic, and putting out the regulations ever since they started writing them right before 2001 attack, 9/11. All of this has been there. We've seen these elements, like you point out. We're journalists. We report on this stuff, and we say, here's the issue. But at the vaccine stuff, I keep going back to the vaccine, because that's where we saw them saying, we have to take away your freedom to protect the health of everybody else. You cannot be protected by a vaccine. You're only protected if the other person gets the vaccine.
Right. Well, and that's the thing I really have an issue with. And I'm doing tons of interviews now with major newspapers all over the world that keep asking me, you know, what is my issue with the vaccine? And I say, look, I have no problem with creating a vaccine. I think it's perfectly noble to want to create some sort of product that protects those that are in danger. My issue is the idea of making products for everyone that is not in danger. I think the pharmaceutical
and
industry.
Forcing us.
Yes. And I think, that, of course, always forcing, no matter what. Yeah. Even those people that are in danger should have the right to choose whether they want to take a product or not. But really, the scam on this, and think about it, it's a financial interest, right? People can say whatever they want, but I believe our scientists, our scientists and our medical professionals around the world are so talented, they are clearly capable of making a treatment or a vaccine or something that really just handles those people who are having an acute reaction to coronavirus, which right now looks like to be about 0.1 to 0.3% based on multiple studies now around the world. Now, we know that they're capable of making a product to protect those people, take them through it so that we don't lose them. And then if you look at the greater body of us, more than 90% of us that are either going to have no symptoms at all or have a very light cold. We don't need this, okay? We don't need that product. But think about where pharma's at. Would you rather have a product that 0.1% of the population purchases or 0.3%? Or would you rather have an idea and a product that you sell to 99.7% of the population?
Yeah.
Or in this case, as Bill Gates is saying, 7.5 billion people in the world.
Yeah.
That's what this vaccine is looking at. So this vaccine—
I'm going to force you to take this, and
right.
then I've got product liability, immunity, so that if I do anything wrong with this, I don't test it sufficiently, or I manufacture it improperly, you can't do anything to me.
Right. It's a perfect. I mean, it's perfect, yeah. right? I can't knock the industry. I mean, it's the greatest scenario you could imagine. I have no liability. I don't have to pay for advertising because the government's going to force it upon you. And let's just say the thing costs $100 a pop, which would be a cheap vaccine. 7.5 billion people getting it means there's a cash cow out there, $750 billion to be made. And this is what our job is as reporters, right?
Yeah.
When I see $750 billion to be made by maybe one company that comes up with there's 100 companies competing in this amazing race now, right? It should be a reality show.
But Bill Gates is going to pick who the winner is.
Correct.
I've
Bill Gates, Tony Fauci, right?
Yeah.
And Tony Fauci's got skin in the game, right?
Yeah.
He owns half the patents at the National Institute of Health that are in, you know, working on one of these vaccines. So are we even going to see the best one? Or the ones that this you know conspiracy group are really directly related to. So all of these things are very problematic. I think that our job is to be asking the hard questions and to really keep a microscope on top of this trial, which is already they're already admitting there's going to be no inert placebo group, which has been my complaint about how vaccines are supposedly tested for safety. Let me be clear: there is no way to determine safety in a pharmaceutical product if you do not have a safety control group that is getting a saline injection in this case so that we can have a comparative group. There's no comparative group.
Yeah.
And so you can only say it's either as safe. You know, some of these studies are comparing against a meningitis vaccine. So you might be able to say it's as safe as a meningitis vaccine, but you can't say it's safe. It's as safe as not getting anything at all.
Well, Fauci at the very beginning was saying, we're not going to be able to have this for 18 months.
Right.
Except going back to the swine flu epidemic when Fauci was, of course, still there in 2009. They rushed a vaccine for the swine flu. Pandemrix and other companies were involved in that. They rushed it to market in only 4 months.
Yes, and it was a terrible vaccine.
Yeah.
A lot of people had a lot of harm from that vaccine.
And
we look back, it was a tragic mistake in medicine. I mean, it really, we just have to be honest. There's one thing that's taking place, and we're seeing in every headline. When you put the word rush and science together, what you're looking at is one of the most dangerous combinations of thought you could possibly imagine.
Oh, that is so clear. Yeah, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Del Bigtree, stay with us. Welcome back. We're talking to Del Bigtree. He's in studio with us. You can find him on Twitter at Del Bigtree and also at thehighwire.com. And that's a program that you've got on a regular basis.
Yes, every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific time for the last 3 years. So I think we're over 160-something episodes now.
Wow. And you've had some groundbreaking information. And I've played many times on this show, and all the InfoWars shows have played those clips that you found from the WHO where they're talking about the fact that they're not testing these. Now, tell people about that. We're not going to play the clip, but just.
Right. Well, I mean, it was amazing. And I was tipped off. I have researchers all around the world. And by the way, thank you for sharing it because it's really none of this stuff. We can't hold on to it. We've got to get it out everywhere we can. So I really appreciate that. But the WHO had a meeting last December where they were getting together. And the meeting was about vaccine hesitancy, because as we know, the WHO has been saying one of the greatest risks to public health is vaccine hesitancy, which is growing. Things like, we now know that 30% of parents in America are now delaying vaccines or actively, going against the schedule. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. More than 50% of people question the safety of vaccines. This growth, I think, is really scaring that agenda we talked about earlier, right? This idea that everyone should be a part of this vaccine program. So they all got together behind closed doors. Now, it's a somewhat public meeting because there was cameras in there. And we found that footage where they started describing the fact that there was no way to really do a study to figure out if something was safe. You had the head of the WHO saying we really don't have a robust surveillance system. She said, and so it makes it impossible for us to say to someone who's died or had someone die from a vaccine whether or not the vaccine had anything to do with it. You know, meanwhile, 4 days earlier, the WHO had put out a, you know, a commercial with the same head of the WHO saying we have a very robust surveillance system. It's a perfectly safe product. And when we do have issues, we're able to track them down, find them and stop them. You can trust this. So saying two totally different things. It's an amazing, and it wasn't just one video. I mean, it was just, you know, 15 different scientists really sort of having this come to Jesus moment, saying things like we're suffering from the tyranny of small numbers. Our studies are so small, there's no way to tease out if there actually is a long-term effect or what is causing the effect. And one guy saying, yeah, the adjuvants. I mean, the adjuvants are so dangerous. He said, I teach a class and I would tell you, if you can make a vaccine without an adjuvant, do it, because adjuvants are very problematic, but they can. And so all of these things were amazing revelations.
The adjuvant is what they put in to irritate your immune system.
Correct.
So you'll produce the antibodies, right?
Exactly.
Except
right.
Those irritants sometimes create their own effects, autoimmune right. disease and other things like that.
And one of the most shocking revelations came from one of the psychologists that's really at the top of her game in there. And she said, we have to admit that we have now made the world dependent upon vaccine immunity. We cannot stop now. And what that really means is you have to understand we used to have natural immunity.
Yeah.
Measles didn't kill. I mean, it killed 1 in 10,000 of those that were infected in America, but essentially 1 in 500,000 died in 1961 from the measles. That's a non-event. That's point in so
right.
many zeros before
our,
you get to one.
Parents,
it's incredible.
My generation,
right.
my wife's generation,
right.
somebody gets the the diseases associated with MMR,
yeah.
You would, or chicken pox or whatever, they'd have everybody, all the kids go down and play with them because
yes.
they wanted to make sure all the kids in the family got it at that point in time so you could get it done with. Because if you got it later in life, it was a lot more serious than if you got it
right.
as a child.
Right.
And they wanted to get it done with. And as you point out, it was such a rare occasion that something would happen that it was essentially not.
And after you had it, you had the Ferrari, what I call the Ferrari of immunity. You have lifelong immunity when you take on an illness naturally. We're now up to two MMR vaccines, the one we use for measles in America as children. They're talking about adding a third one in college because we're having so many mumps outbreaks and there seems to be a failure in the vaccine. And there's two more on the adult schedule. So we're nearing five vaccines to achieve what nature does perfectly. And it sort of brings me back to the point that you said at the very beginning where, you know, Bill Gates is saying if you can come up with a treatment that's 95% effective, then maybe we won't need the vaccine. Well, let's be honest. Nature's 95% effective on coronavirus right now. 95% of people are going to survive and do just fine and go on to have the Ferrari of immunity. They don't have to worry about next year or the years to come or mutations in the virus because they'll have a much broader immunity. Mm-hmm. You know, what we know is there is a very small group of people, I don't want to discount that, that are at serious risk. 0.1, 0.3% is what the studies are now showing us of, you know, people who are over the age of 65 who have other comorbid issues, meaning life-threatening illnesses that are mm-hmm. creating complications. So we do need to look out for them. But when Bill Gates is saying we need to be 95% effective, we already are.
Yeah.
Right. For most of us, you know, over 90% of us, nearly 95, we may have no symptoms. This is a complaint by Deborah Birx.
Yeah.
She's trying to make it a bad thing that you're not going to have any symptoms. Like, we need to track you. We need to find out which one of you didn't have symptoms. So what, you're tracking healthy people
yeah.
because they're doing so well with this virus that they don't even feel it? This is better than the flu.
I mean, with measles, at least I get little red dots.
Right. Little red dots, flu, you feel like crap, you have a fever, you're really, really ill. What you're saying is the problem here is that no one is getting ill. I don't understand the thinking. And by the way, it's how they're moving the goalposts,
yeah.
right? Now that the numbers aren't there, every model they've pointed to has failed. There's no reason for the lockdown. But now they're saying we got to keep you locked down because we're trying to figure out, you know, which one of you are asymptomatic carriers, which apparently is millions mm-hmm. of us, mm-hmm. right?
That's
and
right.
I'm thinking, okay, go ahead. Geek out on your science, whatever asymptomatic means to you, and the fact that I think it just says healthy people are doing really well. But while you're geeking out, let me go back to work. Don't destroy our economy anymore.
That's
Don't
right.
put us in jeopardy
right.
of losing the world, you know, to China, who is back online, who
yeah.
is going back to work. These are the things we really need to start
It's such
discussing.
A broad agenda and all these different aspects, you know, liberty, economy, all these different things, all aspects of our life. But of course, it's the vaccine that is right at the center of it
yeah.
because that's the key. Not going to get out unless you got that vaccine, because they're saying, look, even if you've had it, you could get it again and you could be a threat to society unless you get that vaccine. See, that's the thing that bothers me, Del, when I look at this. You know, as an individual, when I see that somebody's got complete immunity against anything happening with their product, and when I see that they are going to force me to take their product, and we've seen this in the immediate run-up to all this when they started putting out the MMR requirements, mandatory, you know, you're not going to get any school. Boy, doesn't that sound familiar now? Right. Not going to get, now they've upped it. You're not going to get any school. You're not going to travel. You're not going to go to work unless you take our vaccine. Right. And so we know this is part of their agenda, that this is not a a bona fide reaction to a real health risk. And now the facts are coming out. They still don't want to pay any attention to the facts. They want to still go back to their models and their projections, which have been disproven over and over again.
Yeah, it's amazing that, you know, my mother-in-law said to me, you know, I watched you get involved in this vaccine thing. I mean, I was a producer on the daytime talk show, The Doctors. I was celebrating science and medicine. And then I stumbled upon the whistleblower at the CDC that came forward and said, we're committing scientific fraud on the safety studies, you know, done specifically on the MMR. And so that took me on this journey. I thought I was just investigating, you know, a vaccine issue. But the deeper and deeper I got and went down into that research, and you know, now my mother-in-law said, it's amazing that the one topic you pick seems to be the central topic of what we're all discussing in the world.
It is the epicenter of this epidemic that's being used to impose a global restructuring of everything in society and all of our legal structures, all of our individual liberties and everything. That's right at the epicenter.
Well, it's an imaginary enemy or it's an invisible enemy, right? I mean, that's and that's what, you know, when we've read either whether science fiction books or anything that discussed where we could be in the future if we did went the wrong direction, right? There was always this invisible enemy that you couldn't really put your finger on. And Al-Qaeda and terrorism sort of played into that. Like when I think about the fact that when we watched what happened in 9/11 and the discussion was that Al-Qaeda's goal was to disrupt our freedom, to make us so afraid that we would start taking away our freedoms. That was the goal, right? They didn't achieve it. I mean, there were some restrictions and we did see some laws passed, but for the most part, we held on to freedom. But now we have people inside our government, Tony Fauci, Deborah Birx, you know, Bill Gates, actively doing what Al-Qaeda dreamt about.
That's right.
Only it's not terrorism that's our enemy. It's an invisible virus.
That's right. Yeah, and we see it also, you know, with the climate change movement. You know, they had models, they had projections. I questioned their science, I questioned their data. And yet, you know, it was decades out, right?
Right.
So with this thing, they're able to do it very quickly, very immediately, and you can get people very, you know, if there's a disease that's out there, that's a very different thing than selling them on the alarmism of a global climate change type of thing. And so they've been able to get everything that they wanted by using this as the center of it.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up a progressive liberal from Boulder, Colorado. I consider myself still an environmentalist, but I argued with my family last year and during the last election and as we're moving forward saying, you know, I think I want clean water. I want clean air. I want great food. I mean, I think we can have a cleaner, healthier world.
And yeah, that's when the EPA started.
Right, right. I mean, and I believe
moved over to if we had
if we had regulations, you know, and regulatory agencies that actually cared about the people, instead they're working for the very industries that we're supposed to be being protected from. But what I've said to my family is, look, whether global warming is happening, I'm not even going to get into that conversation. What I do know is this. This vaccine issue is going to poison our children and put them at risk within the next year or two. We're about to lose control of our own bodies. If I can't control what is put or injected into my body and the bodies of my children, there is no such thing as freedom anymore.
That's right.
There is
there's no pro-choice movement.
There is no
pro-choice. Can you hang on one more segment? All right, one more segment. Del Bigtree, again, thehighwire.com.
Broadcasting with the power of the First Amendment. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back, and we're talking to Del Bigtree. You can find his program as well as information about what he's talking about with vaccines and your free choice. I Can Decide is another organization, another website he has, icandecide.org. But thehighwire.com is his weekly program. You can find those archives there. You can also find him on Twitter at Del Bigtree. Del, in this final segment here, let's talk about whether or not these people have jumped the shark. Is this something that's really going to blow up in their face and people are going to start realizing, wait a minute, they've got another agenda here besides just trying to help me with my health and my safety. Maybe they've got some other agenda here to come after my liberty and to control me in many other ways.
I think they've absolutely jumped the shark, and I think they've done incredible damage to their credibility. And I think that's proven by one factor. So when I've been dealing with the vaccine issue for the last several years, one of the things you always hear is the scientific consensus is we're all agreed upon this, right? Mm-hmm. Well, by pushing this vaccine agenda and making, you know, and it based, and I call it the vaccine unicorn, right? To base policy based on a hope and dream for a product that they have failed to be able to make, by the way, over two decades of attempting to do it. This is not an easy product. It's a very dangerous vaccine that they're attempting. Animals have died in all the trials that, you know, that have been done so far. So it's a really problematic issue. And so to be basing on hopes and dreams, what it's done is it's put a divide in the scientific community. As we said earlier, you now have top world scientists, top virologists, top mathematicians and modelers all saying these draconian measures are insane. After 18 months, there'll be nothing left of our society. That's We've got to get to herd immunity through the natural means, because the vaccine is not going to be here in time. And so, yes, it's not, it's taken away that consensus, right? Now we have scientists. I have scientists that were against me, like Dr. Paul Offit, Dr. Peter Hotez. I mean, they still will say they can't stand me, but they are saying the same thing. We got to be really careful. We need to slow this down. This is a dangerous vaccine. We shouldn't be rushing this. And so that shows you that people that were diametrically opposed to us are now having to jump on, in line with us and say, whoa, 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 you cannot force a product onto us that is not going to be going through proper safety testing. And by the way, any vaccine that comes out in 12 to 18 months never did a long-term safety study to show that it's not going to cause multiple sclerosis or lupus or these things that we know vaccines are causing. So that's a huge problem. And remember, you now have people that never thought about vaccines, right? They just are going on with their lives. Most adults never thought, I don't have to get a vaccine. I haven't had one for years. Everything's fine. Mm-hmm. Now they're being told, you are not going to be allowed to go back to your job. You're not going to be allowed to, you know, feed your family and have, you know, your two cars or your television, your house. You're going to start losing all of these things until we come up with a vaccine. And that's making people that never thought about it before focus on, well, what is a vaccine? What's in a vaccine? What does a safety test mean? How long am I waiting? What are they trying to do? And it's put this vaccine program under a microscope, which is what I've been trying to do for the last 4 years. So I'm happy they've done it.
Yeah.
All of this oppression, you know, suppression is driving people to actually realize I need to do my own research. And that's all we can hope for, right, David? Yeah. I'm not here to tell people what to think. I'm trying to tell you, you need to start thinking.
That's right. And when somebody shows up and says, you're going to do this.
Right.
I haven't tested this. I mean, we've only got about a minute left, but just briefly tell people what happened with that swine flu vaccine that they rushed to market in four months?
Right. Well, the swine flu vaccine was very problematic. You had people get very sick. There were deaths. There was issues, complications with the vaccine. And by the way, they made everybody buy the vaccine. So nations were stuck with this huge stockpile of vaccines they didn't need. Swine flu was not as deadly and didn't end up spreading as much as they thought. And it shows that they make mistakes, right? Yeah. Like they made a big deal. It was a pandemic. They didn't try to lock down the nation or the world, and this time they are. And once again, we're finding out that this issue is tiny. The death rate, that's apparently, right, of any other flu. Why are we destroying our world economies? It's really
quite crazy. Even before 2009, going back to 1978, Mike Wallace at 60 Minutes talked about that swine flu outbreak. He talked to people who had come down with a Guillain-Barre, been damaged for life and so forth, and they based it on a false narrative about a soldier at a base. And I've shown that video. So we've seen this movie before.
Yes.
And I think this time when they're coming to everybody's door and saying, you can't get out of your house until you take our vaccine, I think that's where they've gone too far. Thank you so much. Del Bigtree, thehighwire.com. Thank you, Del. Thank you. Appreciate it.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. That was an excellent interview with Del Bigtree. I tell you, he really knows his stuff on vaccines. He has been at the center of this issue for a very long time, and now that has become the center of our world, hasn't it? Because that is why all this is happening. As we're talking about the WHO, they mysteriously deleted a tweet about reinfection. as immunity passports were being debated. So they tweeted out, there's currently no evidence that people who have recovered from COVID-19 and have antibodies are protected from a second infection. And so this is the context in which they're doing this. It came in the middle of the debate about immunity passports, as Reason Magazine is pointing out. On Friday, the WHO published a scientific brief on, quote, immunity passports, unquote. That's their idea. Isn't it funny that the WHO and Fauci and Gates and all these people, they've been working on all of this stuff, folks, for years, And they're rolling it all out together. It's all a combined package, isn't it? The idea that government should grant special documents to citizens who test positive for COVID-19 antibodies, allowing them to move about freely. So, you know, get your test. If we find that you've got antibodies, then we'll let you move about freely. But as we were pointing out, you know, I was talking to Dell, they're putting out the idea, well, just because you've got antibodies doesn't mean that you can't get it again. Doesn't mean that you can't be a carrier. The only way that you can be safe is if you're vaccinated. That's the only solution that they want. Just like Bill Gates, just like Fauci. The WHO warned that this is premature since no study has evaluated whether the presence of antibodies to SARS-CoV-2 confers immunity to subsequent infection by this virus in humans. The WHO is correct. Scientists have not determined the degree of immunity enjoyed by COVID-19 survivors, they said. One critic, statistician Nate Silver, said in a tweet pushing back against the WHO's Sunday tweet, he said that no evidence means something like no definitive proof yet. But the average person's not going to read it as there's no immunity to coronavirus, which is likely false and not a good summation of the evidence. So these people are moving on. They're going to continue down this road, folks. One of the reasons, I guess, that they're able to do this is, and we have the story at Infowars.com today from Zero Hedge, study finds a historic drop in math and reading scores since the adoption of Common Core. Yeah, if you get people where they can't understand basic math and they don't understand even what risk is, then I guess you can push these kinds of facts and figures, quote unquote, at them and get away with it. It is a Common Core is a deliberate dumbing down of America, as Charlotte Iserby and Phyllis Schlafly pointed out, trying to get rid of the centralized control of education. Now they want the centralized control of healthcare. And as I've always said, the reason I've opposed this from the very beginning is because if you centralize control of healthcare, that means that you're going to completely take away all freedom. You will be prohibited from doing certain things, and you will be required to do other things. A good example of this is the FBI raiding a medical clinic for giving essential workers who have been exposed to COVID-19 vitamin C intravenously. Now, we've had multiple studies that came out of Asia and other places where they said, we had people who were very sick with this. We gave them vitamin C intravenously. We had very good results with this. The same reason that people were using hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, and zinc. Because they said, look, other people have been doing it. They've been getting good results. Why can't we do it? Oh, no, you can't do that. Not until the CDC and Fauci says so. So your problem is you didn't say, mother, may I, or big brother, may I. You know, you got to say Simon says, or Fauci says, or the FDA says you can do this, right? Doesn't matter how much evidence you've got. And it doesn't matter if you're the doctor and this other person who's the patient, if you both agree that it's the treatment that you want. You know, the doctor. In a free society, you go to a doctor because you trust them and you trust their judgment. They give you their opinion, their advice, and then you take that advice. And many times it's highly technical, so you want to get a second opinion from another professional and make sure that they both agree because, you know, it's something that's not finished. They're practicing. They're still practicing. Science is never finished. It's never established. All these people who say, well, we have a consensus on this, as I've said over and over again, you know, real science is never, never finished. Every breakthrough in science comes about because somebody has questioned the conventional wisdom, because they have defied the scientific consensus. Every breakthrough. So anyway, what happened in this particular situation in Michigan? FBI agents in hazmat suits, because we're talking about vitamin C here, folks. We're talking about something that is unapproved for this particular use by the FDA. And again, as we pointed out, going back, was it a month ago or whatever, when they were saying, well, we're going to need all these ventilators. And I said, fine. You know, if this is a war, what would you do? You would have the federal government getting people to manufacture these ventilators. But the FDA is saying, no, 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 you can't have these ventilators unless we first inspected them. You know, we had a whistleblower that said, we've gotten all these medical supplies, this protective personal equipment, and so forth. And we've got it in boxes. We can't even touch the boxes until the FDA inspector gets here. We can't even, you know, take the individual boxes out of the overall crate, because if we touch anything before the FDA inspector gets it, he will destroy everything. That's the way these guys operate. And so you had FBI agents in hazmat suits equipped with respirators. You know, they ought to give this up to some people who actually need it. They raided a medical clinic last week after a doctor reportedly gave high-dose vitamin C to essential workers. At Allure Medical, quote-unquote, we are offering high-dose intravenous vitamin C to all essential workers who are exposed to COVID-19, said Dr. Charles Mock of the Allure Medical Spa in an unaired local media spot earlier this month. Before Fox 2 Detroit could air the segment, FBI agents raided the clinic. On Thursday, the FBI, along with the Department of Health and Human Services, raided Allure Medical Spa. And just before 8 o'clock in the morning, they surprised they didn't go to the spa owner's house, you know, do a Roger Stone number on him, right, with the press there. They could scare everybody away from doing any intravenous vitamin C. And understand, this is not something that's peculiar to this. Intravenous vitamin C has been recommended by Linus Pauling and many people going back decades, talking about it's very effective for a lot of different things. The first thing you ought to look at with some of these things, and again, the adult way to approach all this stuff is like they're doing in Japan with stem cell research. Here in America, the FDA says, oh, we're going to ban it. You can't even use your own stem cells, something they've never done before. They always call that a biologic. In other words, it's not a drug that's being manufactured. It's taking out your own cells, your own fat cells, separating out the stem cells from the fat cells by putting them in a centrifuge and then reinjecting them in your own body. All of it, your own stuff. The FDA has never claimed that it had authority to do that, but they're doing it. Now, in the way it operates in Japan, they say, first you show us with stem cells or with anything else, you show us that it is safe. And if it's safe, then you got 10 years to prove that it's effective or whatever the time frame is. And so with vitamin C, that's not going to hurt anybody. They could easily prove that it's safe. Why wouldn't they let them do that when there's a lot of evidence that it is very effective with this? Allegations that the clinic provided fraudulent treatments for COVID-19, that the clinic did not observe proper protocols to protect patients and staff from the virus. So they're saying you didn't keep social distancing or you didn't wear masks or something like that. They're not saying that there's some issue about the vitamin C. So they've not made any arrest yet. This is not a typical evidence response team search. We would not normally do what ends up being more of a document heavy search, but because of the concerns that we don't know what we're walking into, we have specialty teams here with appropriate personal protective equipment. Let me tell you something. The FBI needs to put on their hazmat suits, their respirators, and they need to shut down these bioweapon research areas that Fauci is funding. That's what they need to do. All right, let's talk guns, food, and money. Have I got your attention now? We got the mayor of Jackson, Mississippi, is using COVID-19 as an excuse to suspend open carry. What are we supposed to put, like a mask on our guns? Then would it be concealed carry? I don't understand. How does that have anything to do with COVID-19? Well, quite frankly, as you know, it doesn't. The mayor said the city of Jackson faces a significant challenge with illegal guns. And he said, just last week, in 1 week, we had two children lost their lives due to gun violence. And again, this is COVID logic. We've had two people die in Austin, so we're going to shut down the entire city. What percentage of people died from that? How many people died, I don't know, falling down stairs or falling in their bathroom or falling down a ladder? Are we going to ban all of those things now as well? You know, how do we make the world completely safe? You know, they talk about our Vision Zero. They talk about the road to zero and so forth. Oh, we're going to have zero automobile deaths and zero accidents. Well, the only way you're going to do that is either have zero cars or zero people. You know, like that presentation Bill Gates gave, you know, talking about environmentalism. Oh, let's see. We've got, how can we solve this? We've got carbon dioxide as a product of the number of people and the air that they breathe out and their activity and so forth. We got to take one of these things down to zero. Which one of that is, of those is it going to be, right? Well, you know what's going to happen with their Project Zero, their Vision Zero, their Road Zero, zero lives lost due to guns. That means you just take them all. Or you kill all the people. Because we don't understand what risks are here. And we do will not accept any risks. That's the same thing that Fauci is saying. We're not going to have a single case of COVID. If we do, we're going to shut you down, lock you down, make you get vaccinated to get out. Well, as said, prior to the open carry law, he said, when Jackson police officer saw a gun in plain view, it gave them probable cause to seize the weapon and determine if it was illegal or not. The open carry law not only provides protection to individuals who are armed with illegal weapons, it creates an atmosphere of fear and intimidation in the community. So they responded to that. They filed a lawsuit. They said the U.S. Constitution and the Mississippi Constitution, so this is how you get in trouble. This is how these ER doctors who are talking about how we had to open things up. Look, you're putting hospitals out of business. Doctors and nurses are getting fired and so forth. We're destroying our health system, right, because of this lockdown. And they said, and then we also have the Constitution. Oh, take them off of YouTube. That's it. Take them off of Vimeo. Take them off of YouTube. You can only find that video now on sites like band.video. Maybe BitChute has it, but we got it at band.video because we're going to carry stuff that you won't be allowed to see on YouTube, Vimeo. The U.S. Constitution, Mississippi Constitution, protect the right to openly carry firearms in public for self-defense, as do Mississippi statutes. It's not just the Constitution, but also other laws. A mayor does not have the authority to override these constitutional rights and laws, even during a state of emergency. You know, but COVID trumps the Constitution, right? That's right. For everything else. So why not the Second Amendment? You know, we've seen COVID say, well, we can shut down the public's free speech and ability to comment in the public square. Well, hey, because of COVID, we got to take it down. Or we can stop your being able to assemble and protest, that other part of the First Amendment. Or we can stop your ability to have free exercise of religion. And then, of course, we can shut down and censor the independent press. We can do every aspect of the First Amendment, so why not the Second Amendment too, right? It all either hangs together or it hangs separately. Meanwhile, as we're talking about guns in California, a man who claimed that the coronavirus is a government conspiracy has his guns taken away and actually lock him up in an insane asylum. Why is he insane? Well, he had these types of things. A 52-year-old man in a neighborhood of San Diego told the police that he believed that COVID-19 was an elaborate hoax to allow the tracking of Americans through 5G cell towers. I mean, you can track Americans through their phones, too, right? I mean, they've got apps for that. They've been working on them, selling them, and now they're making even more. Is that a conspiracy theory? Is he crazy? Are they coming for me next? You better believe they're coming for me at some point in time. They've already come for me on YouTube and other social media sites. Thanks to public vigilance, the police were able to safely intervene and remove firearms from someone who presented a danger to himself and others. Yeah, he got red flagged. It seems to me like I recall somebody, a president somewhere, saying, well, I got to take the guns and do the due process later. This person, somebody says they're crazy. They said this guy's crazy because he said that what is happening to us with this lockdown is an elaborate hoax, and they want to use this to track Americans. And yeah, 5G, that's a big part of this. Tracking Americans through 5G and through regular cell phones and through your social media contact and your internet activity, all of those things. They've been working on that geospatial intelligence since the late 1990s. So the police and a mental health professional, just like the Soviet Union, said he exhibited psychotic and delusional behavior for believing such nonsense like this. Because, you know, if you think that the government is out to get you, you must certifiably be crazy if you say so. So we'll take you away. He claimed that he needed to arm himself against Bill Gates and the government, who were, quote, using COVID-19 to scare Americans into getting a vaccine that would allow them to be tracked by 5G towers. He pretty much got that right. Oh, he forgot to add that DARPA is working with Microsoft and Bill Gates to control the news, NewsGuard, and to count the votes in the next election, Election Guard. And they were doing that for a very long time before they said, well, you know, we're not going to be able to have elections in person. We're going to have to do them electronically. Oh, and we've already got something to safeguard that for you. Bill Gates and Microsoft did that for us after we gave them $10 million for a corporation that's wholly owned subsidiary of Microsoft. So now we will count the votes for you. But, you know, you'd have to be crazy to believe that there's any kind of criminal conspiracy here. Meanwhile, we're talking about real criminals in California, ignoring the gun laws with little consequence, and as they are letting them loose left and right. And they're seeing the crime rates go up in California and in New York City. De Blasio was very upset about that. He said, how dare these people? We let them out because we're concerned about their safety. And now they're committing crimes, violent crimes, nevertheless. While they are doing everything they can to lock up Roger Stone and General Flynn, who are innocent of the charges. They're letting these people out. Yeah, that's right. California required background checks on ammunition purchases, and there was only a brief pause there because of a federal judge. Now they're doing it again. Meanwhile, they had a Modesto man arrested on Friday as part of an investigation into a shooting. They took the 21-year-old into custody, charged him with possession of a loaded firearm without a serial number, and with resisting arrest as well. I don't know why he resisted arrest, says BearingArms.com, given the fact that he was allowed to walk out of jail a short time later without having to post any bond whatsoever. You know, they're absolutely manic about it. They even want to have you have a background check for ammunition. But, you know, hey, we booked this guy in jail. We just let him out without even any bail. And then he does another crime. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The mainstream propaganda. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Let's talk a little bit about money, and then we'll talk about food. You know, as we see the bailout, the relief, the rescue bill that these people are putting out there. Again, ask yourself what they're rescuing us from. They're rescuing us from themselves, and they are actually exacerbating the real danger to us all, which is what the Federal Reserve has done to our monetary system and has been doing for quite some time, for years, but really escalating it rapidly this last fall as they started. They put about $6 trillion, as some people calculated it, in a couple of months. They pumped it into an obscure financial market called the repo market. And resentment is growing on Main Street over the bailout winners and losers, to put it mildly. That's the headline from a Bloomberg article. No, these people are making out like the bandits and banksters that they are. So what do we do about this? When the central issue here, and perhaps one of the key things that they're trying to reorganize here, and that is the idea that they want to get your attention away from the gigantic economic bomb that they created and say, well, we didn't do that. That was a virus that did that. We were just trying to save you all, right? What do we do about that? You know, I've mentioned many times how I think that the most important elections coming up this fall are going to be the local elections. And you need to think about it this way. Change your thinking completely from what it has been in the past. In the past, we've always said, well, the most important elections are the ones at the top, right? No. The further the person is away from your life, the less important that office is. The most important office. And you ought to be able to understand that now. Yeah, you're getting this lesson really good and hard, aren't we all? The most important people in your life are going to be the ones who are the closest to you. Yeah, of course, your family and so forth. But I'm talking about elected office. The people who are the local mayor, the local sheriff, the town council. And then a little bit less important than them are going to be your state representatives, a little bit less and the governor and so forth. And then less important still are going to be the federal officials and the president. And why do I say that? Because this tyranny is coming from the federal government, but it can be stopped at the local level. And that's exactly what we're seeing with local officials all over the country. I had a constitutional sheriff send me this. Let the state police come down here, says a New Mexico mayor, defying the New Mexico state lockdown order. Reopening the city. The mayor of a small town, New Mexico, says he will allow local businesses to reopen. The governor is killing us. She is totally killing us, said Martin Hicks, the mayor of Grants, New Mexico. So we have no choice. Right now we're reopening. Let the state police come down here. And he's talking about Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham, a Democrat, who announced last week that she was putting together a bipartisan group of mayors who will work with her office to plan to reopen businesses across the state eventually when they're good and ready. And says, I understand where the mayor is coming from. He says, I get it. And then he compared her to Hitler and the Nazis. I've told the businesses, that's the way they put it, but he didn't call her Hitler and the Nazis, but he did call these people Gestapo because they are acting like that. He said, I've told businesses to call 911 if the state police show up to their place. We are going to stop Lujan Grisham and her Gestapo. That's right. And he does it because he's got the county sheriff on his side. Tony Mace, the Cibola County Sheriff, told the newspaper he's sympathetic to Mayor Hicks' move to reopen the business in town. So the bottom line, folks, is that if you want to stop these types of aggressions, you can do it by having good local officials. That's why the local officials are the most important ones coming up. But there's other things as well that you can do as a community at the local level. Here's a good example coming out of Britain, an article from the BBC. They find it very amusing that there are community currencies that are coming up. And this is something that is very important. And when there aren't good local officials to protect the people who are putting these things together, I've seen in North Carolina as they try to come up with a local currency, and then they, instead of just making it a fiat local currency, they actually tied it to gold or silver, and then the government at the federal level came in and came after them, and they didn't have any local officials to protect them. But what they're talking about here is essentially a fiat currency or a cryptocurrency that is a community currency. They said, is that a better way to shop? They said you can support local retailers, you can build a sense of community, and you can get away from the central banks. See? You got to start thinking, understand what these people have planned for you. Understand their model of what they want society to look like so that you understand these different steps that they're taking to get you to that dystopian future that they have planned for you. But then you have to act locally to stop it. They said the Bristol Pound stand for so many things that we do. It just made sense, said a person who was standing amidst the products, artisan cooking oils, natural well-being products, and so forth. Her store is one of 500 businesses in the city that accept the Bristol Pound, Britain's largest community currency. What is a community currency? It's a special local currency that can only be used within a certain locale at shops or other businesses that have signed up to accept it as an alternative to the official national currency. So the bottom line is you can create any kind of currency that you want. All you need to have is other people who agree that they're going to use that as an exchange of value, and you got to find some way to make it honest so somebody's not counterfeiting it, you know, like the central banks are doing. It's not hard to come up with a system of currency that's more honest than what the central banks in every country are doing, especially. But let's talk briefly in the amount of time that we've got about the food issue. Of course, you know, the Gates people are not really too concerned about this. There was an interview on BBC Radio 5 with Melinda Gates, and she was talking about how they've been stockpiling food in their basement for this pandemic. Here's a little bit of that clip. Let's roll that.
Well, a number of years ago, we had talked about, you know, what if there wasn't clean water? What if there wasn't enough food? Where might we go? What might we do as a family? So I think we should leave those preparations to ourselves. But absolutely, we had prepared and had, you know, some food in the basement in case needed. And
yeah, you should see their toilet paper stash.
Know, and now we're all in the same situation, though, right? I mean, there are no tools. There was nothing we could do specifically to prepare ourselves with a particular drug or vaccine. This is a disease we're all in.
Oh, yeah, got to have
together.
A vaccine. Got to get
and
that in there because they're the Gates,
about
right?
Now in our home every night, is how lucky we are. We understand our privilege. And when we say
gotta say that.
What we're thankful for around the table.
I'm privileged, therefore don't hate me. Okay, let's turn her off. That's all I can take of the Gates. But no, she puts the vaccine in there. I tweeted that out yesterday and I said, can we call it prepping when you plan the crisis? Can we call it that? I mean, you know, as I pointed out yesterday, he was kind of sniffing around, allegedly sniffing around a $644 million eco yacht. You know, in case all the ice caps melt and everything. But he decided, nah, I think instead we'll buy a $43 million oceanside mansion. And now they've got a big stash of food there. You know, what if there isn't clean water? What if there's not enough food? What can we do if our plans come to fruition? Oh, yeah, we're already prepared for that. Meanwhile, the food supply chain is breaking. President Trump is talking about an executive order to keep some of these food processing plants up. Why do we need that? Well, it's because we've got centralized control of everything in the economy now. Maybe we could just try the idea of freedom, President Trump. Just get these people off the backs of individuals shutting everything down. Folks, if you're concerned about food, we now are taking orders at InfoWarsStore.com on storable food. And we also have many other products on special there. We have Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix now back in stock. It's 50% off. And we have the Power Pack, both an AM and a PM version of that at InfoWarsStore.com. Things that are going to wake you up in the morning, things that are going to help you to relax in the evening, and things that are going to protect your health in both of those packages. Take a look at that. 60% off. InfoWarsStore.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Joining us now is Mark Morano. And of course, you can find him at climatedepot.com, also on Twitter at climatedepot. Mark has produced Climate Hustle, and he's got a sequel to that coming out, Climate Hustle Part 2, which we'll talk about coming up. That's going to be released pretty soon. Been very busy. I've wanted to get you on, Mark, for quite some time because you and I know exactly what is going on here. You know, for years, we've been talking about how they wanted to essentially hit the economy with a hammer and a sickle, that all of this climate change stuff and the prescriptions for how to fix it were based on alarmist models, bad data. And it was really, and you've mentioned it many times, many of the different global events that you've gone to, people saying, hey, if we didn't have the climate thing, we would have to invent something, because what we really want is a more just socialist society. And so they just stuck something else in here and they got it right away, didn't they?
Well said, David. Yeah, for years. In fact, my book, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Climate, which was out last year, details how this was never about the climate. The climate
That's
is
right.
just a convenient excuse in order to achieve their ends. We have the UN top officials saying this is about wealth redistribution, sovereignty limiting global governments, global government treaties, and this is what and redistributing wealth. This is what the United Nations has been lusting after, these lockdowns. Now, on climatedepot.com, I have a special report. It's at the top of the page. And it goes through and it shows verbatim, word for word, top UN officials, including the UN chief himself, the former UN climate chief, the UN environment chief, all basically saying, in essence, that this is the model in which we can fight the climate emergency. And this is what they're after. They spent decades trying to achieve what the virus was able to achieve in a matter of days. They are jealous and they're lusting after what the virus has done.
Yeah, that, I mean, these models that they had and the data they had, that was going to have to take, you know, decades, and people just couldn't get excited about that. But yeah, now that this has happened, I mean, you see AOC tweeting about the fact that oil is melting down. Oh, this is great. They're getting rid of energy. They're getting rid. They're imposing universal basic income. They're taking people's jobs, imposing austerity, setting up the smart cities, disrupting the food supply, our meat supply particularly. And so they're getting everything that they wanted, and they want to keep it now, don't they, Mark?
They do. In fact, in my report, I go through, they wanted to stop airline travel. They were flight shaming people. They wanted to stop the internal combustion motor. We had Democratic candidates, Andrew Yang, proposing abolishing private car ownership and instead having a roving fleet of electric cars. Elizabeth Warren wanted to get rid of the single family home, and she wanted to have only sustainable homes being built that met some certain qualification. They wanted to get rid of industrial civilization. They talked about planned recessions, degrowth movements, and then they wanted kids to strike from school in order to achieve all of this. Guess what? Every one of their goals was achieved in a matter of about, what, 2 weeks when the entire world shut down. And it has not gone unnoticed. In my report, I quote climate activists, UN officials, former politicians, all saying over and over that this coronavirus lockdown, our response, not the virus, this is very important, our insane response to it by shutting down society has achieved more than Greta Thunberg, Al Gore, the UN, and Extinction Rebellion all combined. Nothing they've ever done has come this close to achieving what they want. In fact, one activist, David, Eric Holtice, who vowed never to have kids because of the climate emergency that ended up having a kid, he came out and said, all we need is to go to 2030 with these emission cuts that we've seen under the lockdown, and we can meet our commitments to the UN Paris climate goal. We only have 10 more years, and we can make the UN happy. Who's in? That's right. You in for that?
Yeah. Well, the Green New Deal has become the Corona New Deal, and these people will lock this stuff in. The important thing is that they go back and they look at what you've been saying for years. Look at the book that you've written explaining how it was never about the climate. It was about establishing this UN 2030 agenda, which now they're going to try to keep and establish. If people understand that, then they're not going to fall for this dodge with the virus. You know, Mark, there was an article where they were euthanizing something like 60,000 chickens at one of these places, right? Because the supply chain has now been messed up. And the way the reporter put it, she said these men showed up and they euthanized the chickens with carbon dioxide. I broke out laughing when I saw that. I said, this must be somebody who's reported for years on climate hysteria, because what do they do, breathe on them to kill them? carbon monoxide, right?
Yes, they're first of all, their anti-meat agenda. That's another thing.
Yeah.
The UN climate chief suggested that meat eaters have separate sections and be banished in restaurants the way smokers have been banished. They had a UN meat eating report that came out and basically wanted to stop all meat eating. At the same time, Al Gore, trying to become the world's first fake meat billionaire, does this whole IPO and piggybacks and all that. All of those dreams now, as they're slaughtering cows, chickens, restaurants aren't open. The demand is way down. This is putting glee into the hearts of the environmental movement. In the report, I predicted, and I have example after example. So what's happening now is the UN and the climate activists are going to morph climate into the virus scare. So now we have a big UN-affiliated report out today, David, saying, unless we deal with the environmental degradation and climate, we're going to have a lot more viruses like this. We have John Kerry warning of it. We have other UN officials warning of it. We have new studies coming out. The money that's going to be thrown at how climate change makes viruses worse is now going to be through the roof, because they know they can't compete with something like viruses. So they're going to try to join the club and become, unless we take care of climate, viruses are going to be worse. By the way, give us money. We're researching this indefinitely. We need billions. We're screwed. And here's the problem. I'm ready. I'm ready to attack here.
What they want to do, Mark, is they want to keep people locked down. And you see these places where they've been pushing climate alarmism. They're the ones saying, well, we can't let you out just yet. We got to stretch this thing out because this is psychological conditioning. And people need to understand where these people are coming from, that this is a long-term plan. All they've done is just change the justification for taking all these things from you. But it was always the intention to take these things from you. It's not to save you from a virus. It's not to save you from climate change. And they want to keep this new normal that they put on people, right? They want to normalize it psychologically by extending it in these various areas. That's why it's important for people to understand where this is coming from and to push back against it.
It is. I mean, we already have people like Bill Gates talking about, you know, needing a certificate. You need to get your test and your vaccine, or, hey, you can't work. And by the way, corporate America will announce, well, these are only voluntary. You know, you can't work for us unless you have your vaccine certificate and your test, but you don't have to work for us. It's a free country. Well, guess what? By these lockdowns, all the mom and pops have been destroyed. What's benefiting? Walmart, Amazon, all their stocks are going through the roof in their sales. So they've crushed independent businesses. We're going to have corporate America essentially doing this kind of, I'm just calling this what it is. It's a lockdown dictatorship, a viral police state. But here's the problem. Donald Trump made not just the greatest failing of his administration, possibly the greatest failing of any president.
I agree.
Of the last 100 years, because he listened to the medical health bureaucracy. I want to curse, but I'll restrain myself. We knew Fauci was full of you know what when it came to AIDS. This whole idea, the myth of heterosexual AIDS, Michael Fomento, an author, debunked that 25 years ago. It never happened. It was never going to happen. The CDC went after vaping. Why did they go after vaping and not cigarettes? Well, cigarettes make billions of dollars from the tobacco settlement. Vaping, they said, oh, it's causing all these lung ailments. The CDC recommended, this is last fall, everyone stop vaping, which essentially led people to go back to nicotine, combustible tobacco products. It turned out they knew for months that these were illegal black market vapes with marijuana causing ailments, not traditional vaping. The FDA, which was political appointees, recognized it early on, but we know the CDC is a lobbying organization willing to lie for stats, power, regulatory issues. And for Donald Trump to turn over American business, the lowest point of the administration was Larry Kudlow, his economic advisor, going on CNBC or Fox News and saying, we don't know when we're going to reopen. That's up to the doctors, up to the left-wing medical establishment, which has been poised and ready. And by the way, if it were up to this medical community, we'd have 10-mile-an-hour speed limits. Why? Because a doubling or tripling
we wouldn't even have cars.
People would die. Every life is worth it. Public safety. You can't go on your summer vacation. You could die on the highway. You won't make it to the beach. It's not worth the risk. Lockdown in your house.
Yeah, they have the Vision Zero agenda, which is, you know, part of the sustainability stuff. And of course, you got doctors saying that gun violence is an epidemic. I mean, as you point out, they won't let us have anything. You know, they literally will have us locked down. Oh, wait, that's where they've got us, isn't it?
And now we're fucking up. People don't like this analogy, but it's a version of the free state versus slave state. Oh, my God, compared a lockdown to slavery. Nah, just stuff it, all the critics out there. Here's the bottom line. We have states like West Virginia, South Carolina, Texas, Georgia, Florida opening up. And it's typically the Republican governors. Now, they still aren't at that great because they shouldn't have allowed it. But races like
absolutely
South
right.
Carolina,
Mark Moreno, ClimateDepot.com. We got to take it back from the bottom up, folks.